Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to be with you this evening. I want to thank all of you who told me you'd been praying for me, and I really appreciate that. I had been praying for some time about what the Lord would have me to speak on tonight, and I found it very interesting. I think you'll appreciate it. What happened Sunday night a week ago? I had been led, I felt, to bring you a message about the Lord dealing with the Apostle Peter. And if you recall, Sunday night a week ago, our brother Rex Trogdon brought an excellent message about the failure of Peter. And he listed five different items, if you recall, that where Peter had made gross mistakes. And I went home rejoicing over that. That just fit in perfectly with what I had been thinking about. And so it was in the Lord's will, I know, that I bring you that message tonight. And I'd like for you to turn, to start, in the Gospel of John. And we'll begin with the first chapter, Gospel of John. You know, you remember that the Lord began his ministry on earth by going to John the Baptist to be baptized. And you recall that after he came up out of the water, the heavens opened up. The Holy Spirit descended like a dove and landed on the Lord's head. And then a voice from heaven, God spoke, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I was thinking about that, and it occurred to me that there might have been some other people we know there at that baptism. And if you look at verse 35, I'll just bring you my speculation about it. Some of these things are not in the scripture, but I believe it's true. The day after the baptism of Jesus, you see there in verse 35, it says, "The next day, John," that is John the Baptist, "was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus." And we're told down in verse 39 that they followed Jesus and spent the day with him. Then down late in the afternoon, about 4 o'clock, one of them left and went and got his brother. Well, we're told in verse 40 that Andrew was one of those disciples of John, who he later became then the Lord's disciple. Andrew was one of the two, and of course the other was the writer of the gospel, John, who never listed his own name. And then Andrew went and found his brother Simon and brought him to Jesus. And so they spent the day, they spent much time with Jesus, and we aren't told what they talked about. But I bet we can speculate. The Lord, no doubt, had some conversation about God, about his work. He had begun his mission on earth. No doubt he talked to these men about that. Apparently, he didn't call them to help him at that time, because back in the fourth chapter of Matthew, we find that later the Lord went by and called them to follow him. But certainly we can feel sure that these men had a great advantage in that they spent time personally with the Lord Jesus. And so you see there when in verse 42, when Andrew brought his brother Peter to Jesus, Jesus looked at him and said, You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which, when translated, is Peter. So this is the rock upon which the Lord Jesus planned to build his church. Why was this person chosen? Why was Peter a fisherman? I wouldn't want to say uneducated, but certainly he wasn't highly educated. If we had been choosing a man to lead the church after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, ascension back into heaven, we would have wanted somebody really well qualified, wouldn't we? And yet we can see, if we study this a little further tonight, we can see that the Lord chose Peter because he wanted to mold him into his own person. He wanted to train him for the time when he would no longer be there. And it was, when you really study the scripture, we see that Peter failed him in many ways. For 3 years following Jesus over the dusty roads of Galilee and Judah, he learned a lot. He heard Jesus' parables. He heard his teachings. He watched his service to others. He saw his compassion for the poor, for the sick, for the lame, for the paralyzed people, for the blind, for the hungry. And he saw what type of person Jesus was. And I think from these verses that there's good reason to believe that Andrew may have, and certainly I believe that John and possibly Peter were witnesses of Jesus' baptism. If they were, they heard God speak and say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The reason I think that is the scripture says the next day after the baptism, John was there with these two that they called disciples of John the Baptist. And if they are disciples, they no doubt were there the day before. If they were, then they witnessed the baptism. And there where Andrew went to find his brother had to be in that verse. Vicinity. Note that these were, this baptism occurred down at the River Jordan, east of Jerusalem. And this is a long way from the Sea of Galilee, where they normally did their fishing. So no doubt they had come down there to hear the John the Baptist preach, and possibly were witnesses. If so, then they knew a lot about the Lord Jesus, didn't they? Well, all these experiences were training for Peter anyway. And let's turn back now to the 16th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to look at two questions that the Lord Jesus ask Peter in this message tonight. And these are two questions that he asks each of us, each believer, me, you, as well as Peter. They're simple questions, but yet they're very profound because of their searching nature. In chapter 16, beginning with verse 13, Jesus had been teaching the disciples. He'd called them back in the fourth chapter, well, called many of them back in the fourth chapter of Matthew. So he's already got these disciples following him, Peter, Andrew, John, and James, from the Sea of Galilee, and there were others. And here we have in chapter 16, Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples the first question. He gathered them around him, no doubt. He, as we've seen before, he no doubt sat somewhere on the ground. The disciples gathered around semicircle, and he looked at each one of them, and he said, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" You'll see there the disciples blurted out answers. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So each one was given his own answer. But you'll notice there that those answers had to do with people, humans. They're people just like us. Although they're prophets and so on. But none of them had to do with the Son of God. And then he looked at them in next verse, and he said, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered quickly, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Simon Peter knew. Where are the answers of the other disciples? They were all gathered around. According to Matthew, not one of them spoke up. Not one of them said anything except Peter. What did the other disciples think? What was their answer? What would Thomas have said? He didn't believe Jesus when he was crucified and rose from the dead. He didn't believe that he had done that. He apparently had no confidence that Jesus was the Christ. Wonder what Judas thought. He had no confidence in Jesus, no respect for him. And as far as he was concerned, the life of Jesus was worth a few coins, wasn't it? But Simon Peter answered, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." What a nice promise that he would build his church on this person who made a lot of mistakes. He failed Jesus in many ways, but he was beginning to learn who Jesus was. In the next verse, 21, Jesus, from that time on, began to explain to the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. And again, Jesus told them in chapter 17, in chapters 20, and then in chapter 26 of Matthew. Turn there, please, chapter 26. Here in verse 2, he again mentions that there are now 2 days away from the Passover. And he tells them the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. And they've now come to Jerusalem. Here they have finished the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, in that same chapter, in verse 17 and on, and then in verse 31, They finished the Last Supper. They have now sung a hymn. They went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus gathered them and told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. And after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Galilee? They were in Jerusalem. Why would Jesus tell them that he would go ahead of them into Galilee? Well, we'll see that in just a moment. But Peter replied, he didn't listen to the last part of that statement. He just heard him say that they would all fall away. So he replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." Jesus says, "Peter, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all of the other disciples said the same. The soldiers came. Judas led them there. They took Jesus, arrested him, led him off to the house of the high priest. And look over at verse 25, I believe it is. I'm having trouble seeing the little print here. But the very last part of that that verse, "Then all the disciples deserted him and fled." Everyone deserted him. Mark tells us that Peter followed at a distance, cowardly, afraid. Let's look back at John 21. John 21. The scriptures tell us that Jesus was crucified. He rose on the third day. He saw Mary Magdalene, appeared to her. He met with the disciples that evening in a room locked for fear of the Jews. But Thomas wasn't there. He appeared to the other disciples. And then a week later, we're told that he appeared to the disciples again, this time Thomas being there. And then in verse 30, we're told that Jesus, now this is all following the resurrection, Jesus did many other miracles in the presence of the disciples, some which are not recorded in the book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. So these disciples all had the privilege of knowing Jesus all these 3 years, traveling with him, hearing his teaching, seeing his miracles, and then Jesus has been crucified and he's appeared back to them. Apparently there was some time between his last appearance and chapter 21. But here we see that afterwards, Jesus appeared again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, which would be James and John, and two other disciples, which are not named. But these seven people are out together somewhere, and no doubt had gotten discouraged, despondent. They hadn't seen Jesus in some time. They know he's been crucified. They know that he's going back to heaven. He promised that. They're apparently talking among themselves. And look what happens. In verse 3, Simon Peter says, "I'm going out to fish." In your King James Version, I think it says, "I go a-fishing." And he did. But they say, "We're going with you," these other six disciples. So they all go fishing. Now, think about this a little bit. They're in Jerusalem. Verse 1 says that Jesus appeared to them, and it was by the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee. Galilee is 90 miles or more north of Jerusalem, and yet it just seems so easy for John to say here, so they went out and got into the boat. But they had to go a long ways to get that boat. But you see what they've done? They've given up. They've given up the ministry. They've gone back to their occupation. They went back to their family boat. They got in the boat and went fishing. And that night, they caught nothing. The next morning, as daylight is nearing, they've come in with nothing. They're nearing the shore, and Jesus was there, just as he had promised in Matthew 26, chapter 26. He said, "I'll go before you into Galilee." He knew they were going to fail. He knew they were going to go back and go fishing. And so here he is. He told them to throw out the net on the right side, and you'll find fish. And sure enough, they did, and the net filled up with fish. But Jesus was waiting to talk to Peter. And over in verse 15, when they had finished eating breakfast, Jesus looked Simon Peter in the eye and said, "Simon, do you truly love me more than these?" This is the question. Do you truly love me more than these others do? Or perhaps he means there, more than you love these others. I'm not sure which he does mean there. But the question is, do you love me? And now about this word love, I looked it up in the concordance, several of them. And if I understand correctly, Jesus used a word agapeo, which is a godly love. And he's asking Peter, do you have a godly love for me? And Peter responded in a word like that we would say like. Lord, you know I like you. And that's not what the Lord had asked him. But he hears Peter's response and he says, feed my lambs. Feed my followers. I want you to serve the people who follow me. Then in verse 17, Jesus again says, Peter, are you truly personally devoted to me? And again, Peter responds with, Lord, you know that I like you like a brother. Jesus says, take care of my sheep, my followers. I want you to be a servant. I want you to serve the people who follow me, who love me. Then Jesus asked him this question again. Peter, are you truly devoted to me? And Peter's response, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Peter says, or Jesus says, feed my sheep. That's a good question. That's a question that all of us must answer, isn't it? First of all, we have to answer who Christ is. We can't be saved unless we know who Christ is. Jesus is the Son of God. He is sinless. And he could go to the cross, take your sin and my sin upon himself, and pay the penalty for our sins with his life. He went to the cross and died for us. He loved us that much. He was trying to get Peter to recognize that. And so he wanted Peter to devote himself to a life of serving him, serving the people that love Jesus. And that means teaching, praying, working, providing comfort for those who need comforting, hospitality for those that need hospitality, fellowship. Many, many things go into loving the Lord Jesus. And that's what the Lord Jesus wants us to do. Do we know who Christ is? You, me? We certainly, I think we could say we do here in this fellowship. But isn't it sad that so many out in the world do not know who Christ is? They don't know that he's the Son of the living God. Do we truly love him? Yes, we must love him because he first loved us. I think we can say that Peter did learn his lesson there. I think he committed himself because we look over in Acts chapter 4, and with this I'll close. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. After Jesus ascended back into heaven, Peter, with the other disciples, saw the need for leadership. And if you recall, the first time they met, it was Peter who jumped to his feet, took control of the meeting. Approximately 120 or so disciples were met together, and they elected another disciple, another apostle, to take the place of Judas. Then later, as Jesus had promised, the Holy Spirit came. It was Peter who took control of the group and saw the opportunity to preach. He preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there were many, many saved because of his preaching. Look at verse 13 in chapter 4. Peter had been called before the Sanhedrin because of his preaching. And they didn't want him preaching in that name, the name of the Lord Jesus. So he was called before the Sanhedrin. And it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? That they could know that these men had been with Jesus. I think that's a prayer that all of us should have. That people would know that we have been with Jesus. When we leave our place of fellowship here and go out into the world, we want people to know that, don't we? So, do you know who Christ is? Do you truly love him? I do too. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of gathering here this evening. We thank you that we're in a land where it is still, we're still able to gather without fear, and we can gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he meets here with us. We know that His Holy Spirit has guided our meeting here tonight. Father, there are so many needs. We called out many of them tonight. And we pray for every person who was mentioned here tonight for prayer. We pray that You'll meet whatever the need is through the work of Your Holy Spirit. Give comfort where it's needed. Help the bodies to heal where there have been a surgery or where there's been accidents. Help those who are weak. Help those who need comforting, those who have been bereaved. Whatever the need, Father, we pray that You will touch their hearts and lives and bring comfort where it is needed. Now, Father, bless the message tonight. Let it dwell in our hearts. Let us rejoice for the privilege of knowing who Jesus is and letting Him know of our love for Him because He first loved us. We pray in the name of that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Amen.